بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. In this session, we discuss a most important affair. And it is an affair that has led to a doubt being spread in the Western gathering of the people of Sunnah. And that is that Al-Shaykh Wasiullah Al-Abbas Hafidhullah has refuted Al-Maktaba Salafiyya, and that after sitting, a lengthy sitting, and some say that this sitting was a week, he looked at all of their evidences and all of their arguments, and he decided that all of them are rejected, all of them are weak, and that they are juhal, that they are ignorant individuals. And thereafter, Al-Shaykh Wasiullah began to warn against the Maktaba al-Salafiyya and refer to them as ignorant individuals who shouldn't be listened to or taken from. What we want to do in this sitting is discuss that sitting. We want to highlight first and foremost that this session is not intended to be a refutation of Sheikh Wasiullah. Of course, that is not for me. But what we want to do is address the sitting itself. And on numerous occasions, Sheikh Rabi', we inform him of the fact that these are from the shubuhat that are being spread. Our Sheikh, he oftentimes will say to us, respond to it. Respond. And so that is what we're going to do in this session. We're going to respond to this shubha, because it is just that, it is a shubha. Reality of the matter is, yes, we had a sitting with Sheikh Wasiullah. And yes, the Sheikh didn't agree with many of the issues that we raised. And that is for a number of issues. Number one, those who encouraged the Sheikh to have this sitting with us informed the Sheikh that we are speaking against Ahlul Hadith. Of course, a man that was raised among Ahlul Hadith of Hind, of India, is not going to take lightly any individual speaking against them. And so if that is what is presented, they're speaking against Ahlul Hadith, naturally the Sheikh is going to come to their defense. That is number one. That is firstly. Our sitting with the Sheikh, though, caused us, without doubt, to have some concerns in relation to the responses of the Sheikh. And no doubt, as the Prophet ﷺ has informed us, that ليس منا من لم يوقر كبيرنا ويرحم صغيرنا ويعرف لعالمنا حقه. He is not from us who does not honor our elders, show mercy to our youngers, and know the haqq and the right of the alim, because of the fact that we saw that Sheikh Wasiullah is from the people of knowledge. We concealed this sitting because of the fact that we saw that in actuality, if this sitting was to get out, then it would possibly be more harmful to Sheikh Wasi than it would be to us. With the hope that Sheikh Wasi would have not said some of the things that he said about the Maktaba al-Salafiyya, that he did not refer to the Maktaba and those who are affiliated to the Maktaba. We're speaking about numerous du'at as juhal, since he doesn't know us. Neither does he know the martaba or the level of our ilm and our knowledge, or who we've sat with and studied with. And so the statement juhal is one that is heavy, particularly for individuals who call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have spent years with the people of knowledge. And thirdly, the fact that the points and the issues that were raised are points and issues that we have, in one of the earlier parts, highlighted to the listeners. And so we, in all honesty, were amazed at the response of the Shaykh to the issues that were raised. But to our greater surprise, after the sitting, the Shaykh, in numerous gatherings, whenever he's asked, speaks ill of Al-Maktaba Salafiyya, and in particular focuses on our brother Abu Khadija Abdul Wahid Hafidhullah. And with this speech has harmed the da'wah of Ahlus Sunnah in the Western world. And we do not in any way, shape or form believe that the Shaykh intended to harm the da'wah of Ahlus Sunnah in the West. But the point is, that is the outcome of the statements that he has made nonetheless. And so, as we mentioned, it is not a refutation of Sheikh Wasi, but it is a clarification of a doubt that is being spread and has been spread now for a number of years. And that only brings to mind the beautiful statement of Al-Imam Al-Shawkani. Imam Al-Shawkani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions, وَقَدْ جَرَتْ قَائِدَةُ أَهْلِ الْبِدَعَ فِي سَابِقِ الدَّهْرِ وَلَاحِقِهِ بِأَنَّهُمْ يفرحون بصدور الكلمة الواحدة عن عالم من العلماء ويبالغون في إشهارها وإذاعتها فيما بينهم ويجعلونها حجة لبدعتهم ويضربون بها وجه من أنكر عليهم. مما شوكاني سبحان الله he mentions, it has been observed in the past and present that the principle with the people of innovation is that they rejoice with the appearance of one word, yani of support or defense, that comes from an alim, from the ulama, and they go to extremes to make it well known and to announce it between themselves and to make it a proof for their innovation. Then with it, they strike the faces of those who speak against them. And he mentioned that in his book Adab At-Talab, page 64. And so these people use the statement of Sheikh Wasi against Ahlus Sunnah, and of course they do with these statements, just as Al-Imam Al-Shawkani he mentions. So we want to then look at the sit-in. Alhamdulillah, we have recordings of the sit-in. The sit-in was recorded by both our end and their end, yani those who had attended from Green Lane Masjid. And so what we want to look at then is some of the issues that were discussed. It was not a week sitting, first and foremost, yani a week long. It was a few hours. It was a couple of hours. So what we want to look at is some of the issues that we raised in that sitting and how Sheikh Wasi responded to them, and the fact that these responses and these issues were raised with the Mashaykh of Medina or scholars of Medina, those who are more knowledgeable than Sheikh Wasi, particularly in relation to these issues, who were, of course, in agreement with our position and our qawl. For indeed, it is those scholars who we have taken these positions from. So the first issue that we'll look at then is the issue of voting. And that is the issue of Green Lane calling to vote, calling the attendees to vote, and what his position was or what he saw concerning that. As far as the issue of voting is concerned, yani this issue of the one who does not vote is sinful and so on, when we put the issue to Sheikh Wasi, this is how he responded.
إذا اختير شخص مسلم الذي لا يشارك. هذا كلام الانتخابات.
هذا كلام
الذي لا يشارك الانتخابات يكون عاصيا إذا اختاروا شخصا مفسدا.
نعم
يكون عاصي. إذا يعني من طاعة الله أن يشارك.
لا
هو لا يشارك.
هو أنا ما أدافع عنه، لكن شرطه أنا أفهم جيدا الذي أفهمه هو أنه إذا اختير شخص مفسد، تعرف أنه هناك شخص مفسد إذا اشترك المسلمون وأقاموا من جهتهم نائبا شخصا مصلح، قالوا بالانتخاب يأتي مصلح بدل المفسد. إذا كان هذا ظن غالب موجود، ما ذلك لم يقوموا بالانتخاب ولم يشتركوا، ماذا ترى أنت في هذا؟ الآن في الهند أنا أقيس نفسي في الهند.
So first and foremost, Sheikh responded by saying that when we said and we put to him, look, that they are saying that if a person is voted in who is corrupt, then we are to blame for not voting for someone who was better. So what do you see concerning this? Yeah, Sheikh. That's what he said. I understand what it is he's trying to say. He's saying that if the Muslims can get together and put a candidate forward who is righteous, that they can vote for, then they must do so. And then he said, so what do you think about this? So of course, at this stage, we're shocked. Is it that the Sheikh is advocating that we should put a candidate forward for voting? And this was something that caused us something from confusion.
يدعون كل واحد تعالوا آتوا أصواتكم للمسلم، وهم فيهم من يكسب من يشترى ويعطى فلوس ويأخذ أصواته للوثني. ماذا تقول فتوى هذا الشخص الذي يذهب إلى الوثني ويترك المسلمين؟
هل So he said, for example, in Hind, we have Wathaniyun, yani idol worshippers, and then we have Muslims. That if the Muslims don't come together to put someone into power, then the Wathaniyun, who were purchasing and buying votes, then they would be put into power. And what do you see about this type of participation in voting? Are they sinful for not putting that person in that position or not? Are they sinful? So somebody, he mentions here, but yeah, Sheikh, this is not the same. That there is not the same as here. So he said, therefore, the fatwa is to be restricted to this type of circumstance, that is, restricted to the circumstance whereby the Muslims are able to put someone in power and it overwhelms the suspicions that the individual is going to be voted for. And this, Ikhwan, is again something that caused our amazement. Was a Sheikh Wasi indicating that we should cooperate in voting? Then he goes on to mention that for 20 years I have been encouraging the brothers, that is in India, I've been encouraging the brothers to participate in intikhabat, to participate in voting. That is in India. So this type of cooperation, then even if it is with the Shia, with the Rafida, in the name of Islam, what do you see and what do you believe about this type of ta'awun? What is your opinion? which again, Ikhwan, cause us to be shocked. He said, so these mashayikh, we have to seek fatwa from them. Yani, do you say that it is haram or not? We don't want a general statement, we need something specific. Just as we may possibly cooperate with the Yahud, and that was in relation to an issue that was previously discussed about slaughtering, and that the English law, for example, in the government, they're trying to ban slaughtering without shucking, without electrocution. And we may cooperate with the Yahud to get the law bypassed, or rather to get the law abolished. So if we're going to cooperate there, wouldn't we cooperate with voting or standing with the Shia and the Rafida for voting? Now you can imagine our amazement. He said, and I say that even with the Hiya Turas, if they're present, or Jama'at al-Islami, if they are present, which is Mawdood is Jama'ah, and I oppose all of them, but can we cooperate with them or not? This is the question that needs to be asked. So this first issue was one of the first of the issues that were discussed, as you can see, ayyuha al-ikhwa. Yani, the response of the sheikh had caused and raised our amazement. So we moved on to another issue. That was the issue of the voting in Algeria. What do you see concerning the statement of theirs that they want democracy back in Algeria and they want the FIS to be voted back in? This was the response of the sheikh. So he says that, so they have made jihad and the people have chosen. And so, regardless of what has happened, you people have entered into democracy. So it is them, yani, and this is what I say. It is them who are saying that this is our path and this is our method of rule. So since it is something that you've chosen for yourself, then give it to them. Nothing wrong with that. Again, Ikhwan, another amazing, surprising response. Now, we are very well acquainted with the statements of our ulama concerning these issues, but these responses of the Sheikh amazed us. So we moved on to another issue, the issue of Ad-Darsh, that is, the issue of Dr. Darsh, the Sufi Ash'ari that was invited to their conference, and the fact that he came to speak and to lecture at the conference, and he's a well-known Sufi Ash'ari. So what about this issue? How did he respond? So the first question he asks, did the Sufi, this Ashari, did he come to their markaz? Did he come to their center? Came to the conference. Okay. يجب الاتفاق في بعض الأهم في مثل مسألة الذبيحة إذا كان So he said, okay, if that's the case, then what was it they agreed with him concerning? Was it like the issue of slaughtering? Did they come together with him on the slaughtering issue? And it's something that has in it the good for the Muslimin. They said, of course, if the aqidah of the Sufi Ashari has an effect upon the Jama'an, of course, ikhwan, how are we going to know what this man is going to speak about? This will only be after the fact. And we will only know after he has spoken. But he says, in any case, if he utters his Ash'ariya and his Sufiya and affects the people, then of course they're wrong for that. So he said, so, you know, we make it clear that the manhaj of Ahl al-Hadith is such and such and such and such. So if we sought from someone to come to bring some benefit, and someone that the people may be able to benefit from, then there's no harm in this. Then there is no harm in this. More amazement, ikhwan. So did this Ashari affect the people with his aqidah when he spoke? And so, again, he reiterates the fact that as long as the Mubtadi can attend, as long as he doesn't affect the people with his speech. Naturally, ikhwan, we're not able to know whether or not this individual is going to affect the people with his speech. But it appeared, we were understanding from the speech of the Sheikh, is that as long as he doesn't affect them with his speech, then there's no problem with the people of innovation attending. Again, he mentions, if the mawdu, or if the topic is aam, if the topic is general, absolutely. Then there's no problem for him to attend. For example, that he speaks about the virtue of Islam, or the samahatul Islam, yani the merciful, tolerant nature of Islam, or the way that Islam liberates the woman, for example. So this general speech, why can't we or they enter into speaking on each other's platforms? If he calls me to go or I call him to come, then there is no problem with this, inshallah. And if we explain this to the scholars, then they would agree with us. Well, actually, our scholars have not agreed on that point, as is well known, ayyuha al-ikhwa. And so, throughout this sitting, we were hit with one amazing statement after the other. And so we saw that it would be better to conceal this sitting, not for our purposes, but because of the fact that these statements are not in accordance with what we find our ulama mentioning in relation to the issue of the people of innovation. The topic of mawdudi came up, yani the issue of using this head of mawdudi or their praise of mawdudi in their gatherings. This is how he responded. So he said, firstly, I have a refutation of موضودي in the affair of the caliphate and kingship, some of his statements in relation to the caliphate and kingship. So it's something that I know well concerning him. And I mentioned these things to Sheikh Rabi before Sheikh Rabi even spoke about them or wrote about them. And so now that these things have become apparent, then it's not permissible for anyone to praise him because of these things, yani because of his position concerning kingship and rule and what have you. But there are other subjects that he may have entered into defending Islam and what have you. Then he mentions some of the books of Maududi that he sees to be beneficial. So it is befitting that we give everything its right and that we're just. As far as warning against everything, and this shouldn't be the case. Anyway, it may be that we find or that we do so among our students and our immediate brothers. But here, his books are widespread, and many of the people have entered with them. So now the haqq has become clear. It is important to make this tafsil. That is, it is important to make this differentiation between those things that are related to rule and caliphate and what have you, where he's made mistakes, and everything else that he has that is good. And of course, after that, the great efforts of Sheikh Rabi, Allah yahfadhu. So again, ikhwan, we hear a position that we do not hear any of the other scholars holding in relation to Maududi or those who are upon that method or upon that way. And this affair of taking the good and leaving the bad, this is contrary to what we find our scholars and our mashaykh and the salaf of this ummah, in fact, calling to in relation to the people of deviation, the people of innovation. And so, again, yani as the longer the meeting or the more the meeting continues, the more we are coming across amazement and being amazed. We asked him about the Sufi Ash'ari attending this head of the Maududi Jama'ah, yani Jama'ah Islami, and he responded with the following. He said, if this Sufi Ash'ari spoke about Aqidah, then this is to be rejected from them. So he said, either they remained silent and didn't respond, or this innovator, he spoke about what doesn't affect the Aqidah. He spoke something general, something about rectifying the affairs of the Muslims, like saying it is a must that we must be Muslims, or that we must pray, give zakah. And it may well be that, there's no problem with this, and it may well be that this has to be the case, that they come together and cooperate on certain affairs. And we know which principle this agrees with, ikhwan. In that is benefit, fil haqiqa, he mentions. In that is benefit. That is, them coming together and cooperating. And upon the affair of cooperating with Ahl Bid'ah, he mentions the following. When we mention that they have ta'awun and cooperation with the people of innovation, he said, what type of ta'awun? Ta'awun So what type of ta'awun are we talking
about?
So you mentioned mu'tamarat, yani conferences, muhadarat, lessons. So first and foremost, when they agree or when they come and they attend these lectures and muhadarat and conferences and what have you, then do they speak with bid'ah and do they establish their bid'ah? He said, and this is from justice that we say this. So do they speak with bid'ah? Let me give you an example of something related to a ta'awun. You may remember and you may be acquainted with what has occurred relatively recently from the affair of slaughtering, and it's come in the newspapers. That is that the hukuma, the government, tried to prevent normal slaughtering except that a person first stuns the animal. So the Yahud, they said it is not possible that for us to slaughter our animals with chucking first or with stunning, and the Muslims joined with them in this. So I ask you, by He who created me and created you, if this is the affair, if it's this type of issue, so do you hold that this is not permissible? So it may be that when it comes to us, the Muslims, and if there was hundreds and thousands of us, they wouldn't listen to us. But when the Yahud get involved, then now they start to pay attention. So if the cooperation is in relation to this type of affair without us having to drop our aqeedah or to leave our aqeedah in order to cooperate, what do you see as it relates to this? Is this permitted or not? So I just want to know, do you believe that this type of ta'awun is haram? We're talking this ta'awun with the Yahud. So Abu Khadija mentions that the meat of the Yahud is permissible for us, but the meat of the Rafida is not permissible for us. And so, of course, there are differences in relation to this issue when it comes to the Yahud, when it comes to the people of innovation. The meat of the Quburi, the grave worshipper, is not permissible. So I said, okay, well, that's just one issue of slaughtering. Another issue, it may be that they need to increase the numbers of the Muslims in order to enter parliament. So do you find that there's a problem with this? You find it haram? when it comes to the effect of voting and increase in voting? No doubt the statements of our scholars have differed, and I hope that if anyone conveys this statement of mine, that is conveyed with trust. So then I don't fear anybody but Allah Azza wa Jal. So for 20 years I've been trying to tell the brothers in India that they should get involved in Parliament. So our cooperation then with the Mubtadi'a, with the Shia, with anyone in the name of Islam, what do you see concerning this? He said, in fact, we should seek fatwa from the Mashayikh concerning this. Do you say that it's haram, or do you say that it's haram? So we don't want a general statement, we want something specific. And since the Yahud are from the worst of the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, then we want, and it's permissible there, and we need something specific as it relates to the people of innovation. Is it permissible to cooperate with the Rafila or not permissible? And so slowly but surely we're seeing, Ikhwan, that and anyone who was present within the meeting would have felt that our Sheikh was defending the positions that Green Lane and that Ahl al-Hadith had taken, and we didn't find agreement with the issues that we find our scholars have spoken against. The issue of Ihya Turath, he mentioned. He said, I hold that if a person finds from them musa'ada, finds from them financial help, take it. And take it and consume it and eat it freely. Prophet ﷺ used to receive gifts from the Yahud and would eat. So likewise, here at Turath, and I've been to see them. I don't see any issue with them. I've seen them. He likewise mentions concerning Turath that they are Salafi. We mentioned the statement of theirs that our manhaj is the same as the manhaj of Ihya al-Turath. Our manhaj is one, and it is a strong manhaj, he says. He said, me myself, nothing from their manhaj is apparent to me other than manhaj Salafi. Said, by Allah, this is what I say. They are well known in Hind, and they don't harm them in any way other than, other than the book and the Sunnah, and they don't help and aid. They don't help and aid other than Ahl al-Hadith. So if that's what they're making apparent to us, then we'll make apparent to them what they make apparent to us. And so these issues, Ikhwan, and the Jalsa, of course, it's not possible for us to look at the whole sitting. But the Jalsa, Ikhwan, for anyone who was present, then you would have seen clearly that the Sheikh had come to defend Ahl al-Hadith. And that is exactly what he did. And the issues that were raised were issues wherein the Sheikh, he opposed the scholars of the Sunnah generally in these issues, whether it is ta'awun with the people of bid'ah, the issue of voting or participating in parliament, which is related to the people of innovation, cooperating in conferences, cooperating with the people of bid'ah generally. These masail, ayyuhal ikhwa, when we sat this sitting, we had this jalsa, then we were nothing short of amazed at the responses that we were hearing. So the point is, after this sitting, Sheikh Wasi' began to say that we're juhal, began to say that the brothers at Salafi Publications and at the head of them, Abu Khadija, he constantly focuses upon Abu Khadija, that they're ignorant, and that I've sat with them, and they brought no evidence, or they brought no hujjah, that they are ignorant brothers, and this continues to be the case up until this present day. And so now we see the people of Ahwa rejoicing, them using this statement, using this sitting, naturally because they don't know what went on in the sitting, well, we have the recordings. Them using the sitting to say the Sheikh absolutely slaughtered them, and the Sheikh annihilated their arguments and annihilated their hujjah. And you've just seen some of them, Ikhwan. Did you see any annihilation, any slaughtering taking place, other than advocating slaughtering and vying with the people of bid'ah to deal with the issue of slaughtering? But as far as the brothers from the Maktaba Salafiyya being slaughtered in this sitting, then that did not take place. And by Allah, we only concealed this sitting considering the Sheikh, because these responses, Ikhwan, were responses that amazed us. And so from these issues still remain, and they remain a problem. We brought this sitting back to our mashayikh, our scholars, and they too were amazed. And so we want to mention this because it is an issue that we've been hearing for a number of years by individuals who have no clue, no idea what took place in the meeting, what went on, what issues were raised, and how Sheikh Wasi responded. And so our issue then is to repel falsehood and to repel lies. And this statement that Sheikh Wasi heard our evidences, refuted us, and established the fact that we're ignorant is not true. It simply is not true. And anyone who is just, with just these snippets that we've just played, anyone who is just will see, Ikhwan, that that was not the case. And perhaps we'll round this sitting up on that note. والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.